So, good afternoon. I'm not going to let you know what day or year it is because I've made some wacky decisions about YouTube and YouTube channels, and I deleted one of my, well, my original one a few months ago. I deleted it, Google did not. So, I'm no longer putting the date or the location on these videos because if you upload them and people say, "Hey, this was posted, I don't know, on January the 15th, 2018, but the guy is talking about 2016." So they think you're a time traveler. So advice, if you ever delete your YouTube channel, but you keep your videos and then decide to create a new YouTube channel, the best advice I can give is don't tell them what the time or the day is. If you want to say it's the morning, that's kind of okay. I mean, it might be annoying to listen to a video in the afternoon about the morning, but hey, that's okay. But like I said, and I need to be brutally honest here, don't give them a date or time or location because if you're like me, and you're probably not because you're probably successful, but if you're like me, you probably moved around a lot in recent years, and maybe all the stuff you own can fit into three bags if you're like me. Anywho, I call it ultra minimalism at this point. I think some of us call it survival. But no date, no time, no location. If you're an itinerant hobo like myself, just wander about the countryside looking for morsels. Right now, I have a shack to live in because of the kindness of other human beings, but kindness, I don't know. It might have a shelf life. So that was a long-winded way of saying you don't get the date or the time. But what I'd like to talk about today is probably a subject I'm not qualified to talk about, to be honest with you. It's totally not a subject I'm qualified to talk about. It deals with, human relationships and human sexuality and other issues of gender. And given what a colossal failure I've been in my life when it comes to relationships, I think that my opinion is probably not worth that much. That's item A. Item B is I don't have any degrees in psychology. I've got a couple crappy degrees, but they don't apply to the subject matter of psychology. So if you're a psychologist and you want to call bullshit on everything I'm saying, I am totally cool with that because, hey, I have no certifications. I'm not a psychiatrist or a medical doctor. I'm not a counselor. I'm not a, whatever, public health official or social worker. I'm not here to help you. I have just, my own fucked up opinions. But, one of the things that strikes me is one of those subjects that comes up, and this relates to meeting, some other for the first time, and this other could be a woman, a man, or woman on woman, man on man. This isn't about, in my opinion, specifically about gender. It's more about the things we have in common. But the first time you lock eyes, and from the woman's perspective in public opinion, and I think maybe men say the same thing, but she'll say something like, "Well, I wish that he would look at my face and, not at my body." And I think women say this and they get away with it. But the truth is, I think women do the same thing. I think that, all sexual creatures do this. They are basically looking, they're basically looking at those features of the other person that they find attractive. And I don't know what's wrong with that. I think probably there are some men who look at a woman's ass and that's the first thing they look at. And probably some men, they look at, the boobies, as they say. But basically, women do the same thing. They're checking out a guy. I don't know what parts they find, most attractive, and maybe the face is the most attractive. You think about it, that's a whole dirty subject we're not going to go into. But yeah, they might start with the face or the ass or, look for the package, as they say, the package. But in all cases, I think both men and women are guilty of this. So it's like if a woman says, "Well, I wish you would meet me at eye level," well, the man's response would be, "Yeah, I mean, I was looking at your eyes. They're just not the ones at eye level. That's kind of the, the bulging eyes bulging out at me, but they're kind of at the chest level." I mean, that's the thing. I think most of us, maybe not all of us, I would say most of us, but this is probably my own prejudice based on my own preferences. But I think most of us probably do look at the boobs first. Hey, look at those boobs. And maybe there are women who focus on the ass because they're looking for that powerful kind of thing, or they focus on the package because they figure, hey, the guy can be a wimp and all he has to do is power a dildo. But again, I can't speak to this. This is a preference thing. And that's kind of the nature of the issue. It's sort of like, I think we get caught up in our lives and trying to pretend that there's something about the core good and the core bad of humanity that's gender specific. I don't think there is. I mean, I don't think there's specifically something that says that a woman would be a terrible scientist or engineer. Actually, some extremely brilliant people throughout history have happened to be women just as they've happened to be men. It's not gender specific. There are brilliant women, there are brilliant men, there are incredibly stupid women, there are incredibly stupid men. Stupidity knows no gender or sexual preference. It's something to consider. And that also applies to how we interact with each other as far as that first sort of meeting goes, to get back to the topic. Yeah, we all want to pretend, oh, he's going to look at my face or my eyes. Well, no, I'm not looking at your eye. When I walk up on you, whether it's to meet you on a first date or just walking by a girl in the street, I will be subtle. I won't be obvious. In fact, I think I've gotten that down to a work of art. I just kind of take a long distance mental picture and let my brain do the rest of the work. But the bottom line is this, we all do this, you know. We all kind of glance at the things we desire. If we walk by a bakery, I'm not saying this is true for all people. I mean, there might be 10% that this doesn't apply to, or maybe baked goods is not their thing. But let's say I'm walking by a bakery, you know. Why wouldn't I glance at the donuts in the window? Why wouldn't I look at the cakes? It's not an unnatural thing to have your eyes cast towards things you desire. And I hate to break it to you, one of the core drives of human existence is sex. So yes, that's going to happen. And we want to rationalize and pretend that there's, well, you know, Dan, we can be more adult about it. We're not just apes. Well, yeah, we're not just apes, but I don't know that looking at something, especially if you're trying to be, you know, a lady or a gentleman about it, which means don't just stare at them like, oh, I'm going to leer at somebody. No. Having your eyes scan the horizon and then lock on things you desire has nothing to do with turning your head towards somebody and leering at them. We need to separate those things. It's kind of gross. I don't think it should be illegal. I don't think you should sue somebody, but it's kind of gross when men ogle women or just sort of treat them like objects. Just like I think it would be gross if I was walking down the street and so he said, "Oh, look at that terribly fat, ugly man," you know. You know, or whatever. I just assume they keep their thoughts to themselves. I think it's kind of, you know, kind of rude to just blurt out, you know, whatever your crazy ass mind is saying. Humans have crazy ass minds. Not every thought we have should be expressed. Which, you know, not ironically could be applied to this podcast, but that's a separate topic. So yeah, and I've been thinking about this issue because I've kind of reached one of those low points at the trough, one of the troughs, you know. When you think about it, life is that sort of you know, exponential, not exponential, but polynomial or greater function, like, you know, it's kind of, or cubic function, you know. It's got lots of curves and lots of peaks and valleys. And to some extent, life is this weird function that just goes up and down. Or maybe it is just a sine curve, you know, and maybe it's that regular. I don't think it is that regular, but we all have these up times and these low times, and I'm in a low time. But I've been thinking about men and women because eventually I think to myself, I would love to date. It would be great to date again. I'd love to go out on dates and maybe even find a girlfriend. You know, I am a social mammal. I'm not going to pretend that I can, you know, read Ayn Rand and then suck out everything in me that's an impulse to care. And frankly, if you read Ayn Rand correctly, she didn't believe that either. You know, we have an animalistic nature to us. But one of those things is wanting to live in a community. I'm not a communist. I don't want Marxism. I think that's a bullshit idea. But this idea of running to reach out for others and not be alone is not terrible. It's probably good. It's probably why there are still people on planet Earth. So yeah. So this issue of how we treat each other, and I think it's gotten worse because really it is about some extent it's about education and indoctrination. And I think that for a couple of decades now, we've been teaching people that their differences are so extreme that they can't possibly focus on the things that are common without seeing it as some kind of imperialism, because nobody wants to pick the common. That's the problem. You know, I think multiculturalism is great, but the issue that comes up is finding things we can all agree upon where one party doesn't feel like, well, you're being, you know, imperialistic against my beliefs. Well, dude, this is reality. there are things that we all kind of have in common, whether we want to admit it or not. Those happen to be the best things about people that are interesting. They're not about skin color. They're not about, you know, whether you're fat or skinny. These are the things that are the most interesting about people, and they're the things we have in common, the good and the bad. And you might come out and say, well, there's never, you know, there's never been a female Hitler. Well, I'll tell you this thing about Hitler, okay? And there isn't a female Hitler yet, and that somehow, what does it prove? I don't know what it proves. But if you think it proves that women can't be as vicious and horrible and evil as men, I think you're living in a fantasy world. I think these particular virtues and vices, these characteristics for our ability to think about the world, I think they're more or less equally distributed across genders and sexual preference. So if you don't think there could be a gay Hitler, although that's funny, I kind of think, who knows, he might have been gay. Just getting some water here. I mean, Hitler might have been gay, I don't really know. He clearly was a strange, evil man, but the bottom line is this. All things being equal, he was horrible, and I don't think we need another one of them. I think that's kind of the point. Maybe there's an opportunity for a galactic-level genocidal maniac, and I think it's possible that sometime in the 25th century, there could be this, you know, super-mega-evil sociopathic woman that rules over the galaxy and decides to slaughter half the people because, you know, they don't brush their teeth every fucking day or twice a day or whatever. You should brush your teeth after every meal. Well, maybe half the galaxy doesn't brush its teeth after every meal. And she could decide, well, then, you know, concentration camps, we've got to murder you. It's too horrible to think that you don't brush your teeth after every fucking meal. You have to die. And yeah, so I don't think we need more murderous evil people, and I think the slots have been filled, and yeah, maybe men got to that spot first, and maybe it is a historical injustice, but I think you should just kind of accept that loss, that maybe there hasn't been a female Hitler to our knowledge yet. I mean, there have been evil mass murdering women throughout history. You know, I don't know if it's Madame Bovary or whoever, but there's this, you know, I don't think it is, but there's this one famous woman who basically murdered all our peasants and whatnot, or at least a bulk of them, you know, in like the 16th or 17th century. I think she might have been Romanian or something, but I don't really know. Anyways, it's one of these things that they loosely connect to the whole vampire mythology. But since I'm not an expert, I'll leave it there. But the point is, there have been murderous women. You know, Catherine the Great wasn't necessarily the nicest woman in the world. She wasn't nearly as bad as, you know, Peter the Great or Ivan the Terrible. So in that sense, she's an improvement. But she, you know, probably had people killed. But you know, I wouldn't be upset if I found out that all throughout history, the worst mass murderers were women. I wouldn't say to myself, well, gee, wouldn't it be nice if we had a male Hitler? You know, like I say, Hitler is Hitler enough. You don't need another one. And frankly, we got more. We got Hitler, we got Stalin, we got Mao, we got Pol Pot, we got Jim Jones. I don't really need, you know, a Samantha Jones, you know, to come along and say, well, let's all get together in some foolish quasi-socialist paradise and then, you know, drink the Kool-Aid and die. I kind of, in my opinion, if I was in that position to say, well, do we feel the great historical injustice because there isn't a Samantha Jones, at least not like the Jim Jones, or doesn't get the same publicity, I would not feel cheated. You know, there hasn't really been a good example of a female Charles Manson yet, you know, that formed a little cult that went out and did the killing for him. And in some ways that is like having a micro Hitler, if we're honest about it. You know, he, in some ways he had a political agenda and he was forming a micro community. So you could make the argument he wasn't as much a serial killer as he was basically a guy like Hitler, but whatever. The point is, you know, people who want to kill a lot of people for reasons that make no fucking sense. This is what these people have in common: evil, a kind of pure core evil. But anyways, there'd be no great historical injustice. Nobody would say, oh my God, oh my God, what great sadness. We haven't had our gender or our sexual orientation represented yet. There hasn't been a furry Hitler yet. There may never be a furry that's a Hitler. It may never happen. And if you can't live with that, that there isn't going to be this furry bear like in some fucking, you know, I don't know. I like the this one particular band and they had this video where this teddy bear, you know, stomps on everything. If you can't live with that, you know, that there's not going to be a furry that becomes a Stalin or a Hitler or a Mao or a Pol Pot or a Jim Jones or a Charles Manson. If you can't live with that, then I don't know. I think maybe you are evil, which means you really just want another opportunity for somebody. It doesn't matter who. It doesn't matter if they're furry or they're, you know, homosexual or whatever, or lesbian or blah, blah, blah. It doesn't really matter. If you're transgender or, you know, trans light speed, it doesn't really matter. Okay. In that case, if you're so angry about the injustice, it's probably about more than that. You want to be another one of these, you know, messed up people. So yeah, I don't think we need another one of those. And I think there are going to be examples of things we don't need a equal representation of gender for, I hope, throughout history. We can learn from the first example, and whatever the random gender it settles on, like, we could say to ourselves, my God, this galactic tyranny that killed half the people because of toothbrushing or whatever, we don't need to do that again. Even if we can't have a male version of that, whatever great sadness will exist in the 25th or 26th century, we don't need one. We've killed so many people, and it's going to take a while. So yeah, even with the replicant machines, it'll take a while. So that would be my point. And that's kind of, I don't know, maybe that's the core message, or part of the core message of this little podcast, is if you're going to be, you know, thinking about the injustice of male patriarchal society rolling over all other sexes and races, you should consider the possibility that it is kind of a lottery, and it could have been the other way. And the question is, do we achieve justice by, you know, a pure eye for an eye type historical revisionism? And my contention would be no. Many of these lessons of tyranny and control and viciousness, they don't need to be repeated more than once, if ever. I would prefer the number zero. So let's think about that in these gender, sexual, trans, light orientation wars that are ongoing. Let's consider that possibility. Peace out.